Okay, Bart, we're recording.
Get your motor running.
Shut up.
Cruising down the highway.
Shut up.
Looking for the other highway. Winks Thinks Podcast. And we're coming to you from a car today. I'm Bart Winkler, and I'm with Andrew Wagner. Now, Andrew Wagner, I have known for a while. He covers Brewers and Bucks games is where I see him. And I never really know who he writes for. Andrew?
I write for a lot of places, Bart. I am the journalistic equivalent to a prostitute. I have a laptop. I will produce content for a fee. So I write for the Sports Exchange, Forbes Sports, Wisconsin State Journal, occasionally the AP, and for toolguide.com for all your DIY, home improvement, woodworking, and, you know, tool-related needs.
Every time I go to a Sports Exchange website, it doesn't exist.
It's like a wire service.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fun.
But thanks.
And for aspiring journos, is this a healthy living?
Go learn a trade. Otherwise, you get stuck driving back from St. Louis to Milwaukee with a morning show host from a sports radio station.
Me.
Yeah.
So, you have driven to St. Louis. We'll get into that, but are you making any money on this trip?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You are profiting.
Wow. Oh, we're going there. Okay.
I
don't do this for fun, Bart.
We are driving back from St. Louis. It is the 27th of September.
The day after Brian Schaus's birthday.
2018? I like to get the dates on here because... Yeah. So last night, the Brewers clinched playoff spot. And it was fucking incredible. I came down there. I decided on Tuesday. We were talking on the show, Chuck and Winkler. I said, yeah, no, if they can clinch, I'm going to go. And I always say shit like that and never do it. And then Chuck's like, picnic basket.
I was just going to say, why are you making Chuck sound like a drunken yogi bear and then write to picnic basket?
And I said, yeah, sure, credential me. And then the wheels were in motion. Yeah, you think you want to take that? Yeah, it looks like a work employee.
It is a work call, so I'm just going to go ahead and pause this for a second.
All right.
So, okay, you can edit that out, right?
No, I'm gonna keep that in.
Okay.
So, Andrew took a work call.
I did.
And he had work voice.
I did. I have like 5 different voices right now. I have like my, you know, work voice, my dealing with insolent children and or my siblings voice.
How's that going?
Not well. Dealing with idiot bill collectors for my late mother's estate voice,
yeah,
which has a lot of profanity. Press box voice, and then dealing with dumbasses like you voice. So, you know, I'm a man of many hats.
What's your in the act just about to go voice?
It's a real family-friendly, Anyway, what the hell are we talking about?
So I decided to go to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Because this is all about you.
It's my pot. It's my...
And your accolades.
Why would I do a podcast if I'm not going to talk about me?
All right.
What am I going to do?
Oh, this week I'm going to show you how to fix a sink.
Dude, those are great podcasts.
Actually, a YouTube video helped me do my garbage disposal and my thermostat.
I am a big fan of the YouTube maker community. In fact, I am going to be launching my own website and channel in the next couple months. So that's how I learned everything about my workshop.
In the time that we paused it, we also almost got in a car accident.
3 of them.
Oh, I only counted 2. So. And I started eating M&Ms. I don't know if you can pick up the chewing.
People drive like morons in the state of Illinois. Which is uncanny to me because there are no fucking hills. It is just straight and flat everywhere.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Thank you for driving again.
That's fine.
I can't thank you enough. So I drove down here by myself on Wednesday, the day of the game, and Andrew went with some other people, and you're about an hour ahead of me.
Attempting to connect to your phone.
What the fuck are you doing now?
I tried to get my beef jerky and I hit a button.
Jeez.
Just shut up and talk.
Alright.
Just shut up and talk.
No phone found. Would you like to add a phone now?
No.
Say, add phone, replace phone, select phone, or no.
Self-destruct. No.
Here we go. We're good now.
So, it's a good thing, I came about an hour behind you. You guys went straight to the ballpark. I had to stop at the hotel. I had to go to the bathroom. So, I went to the hotel, figured out some equipment, went to the bathroom, which I'm just reminded that I left a pair of my boxers in the garbage can.
They were selling underpants at the truck stop right next to the bathroom.
It was too brown to take home. Too many farts.
This is I'm proud to be a part of this podcast.
So whoever cleaned my room at the city tin or whatever it's called.
Did you leave a tip for your...
Oh, I forgot.
Jackass.
I always do. I always tip the maid. But I left at 5 in the morning because I had to go do the show. We'll get to that. All right, so we covered the game. Brewers-Cardinals. And it was a tight game. 2-1, ridiculous play. Moustakas throws over to Shaw, gets by him. Broxton came and got it, didn't he? Broxton came and got it.
I think
was
so.
Perez in that play?
Perez was in there.
Either way, the ball got thrown to Kraft.
Because I was pretty much on my way downstairs at that point.
Oh, man.
So I was just walking out when that happened. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah, so the Cardinals should have tied it, but a runner was coming around third and he fell. And so at that point, I thought, well, there's no fucking way they lose this game. There's actually karma on their side today. So we went downstairs, and I didn't see the final three outs because I was ready to storm the field. Not like an upset in college football, but went on as a member of the media and went to the mound. I was on the mound. I was on the fucking mound as the Brewers are celebrating. I got video. I posted that. And it's really, really cool. And it was cool to be out there. And I was surprised I was able to be out there. And then I was surprised with what I was able to do in the clubhouse, just talking to whoever I wanted. I mean, Council got on the phone with us. And Stearns. And Braun.
They probably thought they were ordering a pizza.
Yeah, they probably were hungry. No, so we put, and you'll hear that at the end of this, from our post-game show. The 10-minute exchange of what happened. But it was just crazy. It was crazy. It was crazy to be a part of it. It was crazy to get all the text messages from people that saw us on TV. It was crazy to be wanted by the other shows on my own station. They are pretending like I exist today. The whole thing was crazy, and it was fun, and it was just a really good experience. And the other thing that I did, and I made sure to do, and this... It's just a playoff clinch. Right?
Yeah.
But it felt bigger than that for whatever reason last night. And when I got married...
Oh, God.
One of the things that we told each other was, during this day, take a moment to soak it in. So I took a moment where I was on the post-game show, and I soaked it in. I was the only one sitting in the entire stadium, lights out. It's just me sitting down in the bleachers, in the stands or whatever. I'm the only one sitting there just reflecting. I mean, I had the ballpark to myself. It was really cool and a really great moment. So that was my time. How about you?
It worked, man. That's it. I mean, that sounded drowned like a jaded old sports writer, but I...
What I did was work.
I didn't really sit and bask in the moment. There was one moment I got a little... verklempt just because the last two times that they clinched, the thing is, like, to this day, I have people that have known me 20 years that feel compelled to call me and message me every time they're at the ballpark,
hey, we're at the game today, come say hi.
No, I can't.
Are we going the right way?
Can come see you in the press box?
No, you can't.
Are we going the right way?
Yes, we're going the right way.
You went to Chicago.
Well, we're not at I-39 yet, so I'm not going north.
Okay.
Anyway, so of course, yesterday, you know, there's cameras all over there. The post-game show is live. You know, the TV one, not your little radio thing you do. And it's like every 5 minutes or five, whatever, my phone starts buzzing with people. Oh, we see you. We see you. Oh, can you get us a t-shirt? Oh, wave to it. Come on, man. I'm working. But inevitably, like the last two times, 2008 and 2011, like I'm down there doing work, getting interviews, trying to like write my story on my phone, and my mom would call.
Yeah.
And someone asked me yesterday, did you get the call from your mom yet? And I'm like, oh God, I forgot. I'm like, yeah, wow. She passed like 18 months ago. And then it's one of those moments like, oh crap, you know? So that was, you know, the one like non-professional, I'm on the clock moment that I had. But other than that, I mean, it's still cool to see. I mean, it's still, you know, something that you don't know is going to happen very often. It kind of makes going through the grunt of sitting there through, you know, the first 10 days of pitchers and catchers tossing a ball around in Arizona, trying to find things to write, worth it, and the grind of 162 games, or 159 in this case. I mean, it's cool. It's cool to see. It's cool to be able to share that moment, and it's cool to report on that moment. Like, it's cool to give the fans, this is what's going on with the team that you like. This is what's going on. That part's cool. Like, I would prefer not to be drenched in champagne and beer. I would prefer not to have my, you know, recorder or phone fried out from champagne or beer. And 2011, I'm glad this was on the road, because 2011, I was driving home from the stadium after they clinched. I can't remember if it was if they clinched the division or if it was when they advanced, but I got pulled over turning off Canal Street on the 6th because my blinker was out, or I don't remember what it was, but the cop was like about to nail me for DUI because I didn't realize just how bad I reeked of champagne and beer for being in there. And, you know, I had to end up showing him my press credential and my notebook, and like I pulled my laptop out and my score sheet, and, you know, finally he believed me. But yeah, that was one thing that you know, you kind of don't think about at the moment. It's like, if you're going to drive home, be really damn careful. Fortunately, I didn't have to worry about that yesterday. We just walked back to the Hyatt.
When you said that thing about your mom, that's interesting, because when we did our show today, a lot of the calls ended up being people talking about their parents.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that.
That was one thing, too. Like, I mean, I know everyone likes to bitch about Cubs fans, this Cubs fan, whatever. I think all fans are annoying. And, like, when people don't realize, especially in Wisconsin, all the bitching and kvetching people do about Cubs and Cardinals fans, hey, guess what? The second you put your cheese head on and your green and gold overalls, you have become the Cardinals fans or the Cubs fans of the NFL, Green Bay Nation. You're the same. So the rest of the country looks at you.
That seems like something you need to get off your chest and not the general direction of the conversation we were having.
But it was a little sidebar. But when the Cubs made their run to the World Series, what was that, 2016? I was listening to Les Grobstein's overnight show. And just listening to these, you know, 80-year-old, 90-year-olds that, you know, they worked in Chicago factories. They worked, you know, second shift, so they went to the Cubs game before work. And just hearing those guys and gals that have been there the whole time, following, that stuff is cool. And being Brewers fans, obviously they haven't had the same, you know, opportunity to go to the playoffs as other teams in the league. So it's kind of cool to see that. In fact, we got to the hotel last night, and there was a family, two little kids, wearing Brewer stuff, getting in the elevator, and like the little kid was just so excited.
Yeah.
So I like gave him the game notes out of my bag. I'm like, that's all I really got. You know, have that at Hoss. But I mean, that stuff's cool.
What about your Cardinals magnet schedule?
What?
You didn't get that?
No.
You got the magnet schedule.
Well,
if anybody wants it, if you're a Cardinals fan, great Christmas present, $15. PayPal me.
My buddy's got a
Wings Go Pack at Yahoo.
I'll give it to my buddy. He's got this sports memorabilia Facebook group where they like auction and raffle off prizes, and most of it's like St. Louis themed. So, yeah.
The going rate's 15.
Give it to the 10th caller to your podcast.
$15. So where are we? Springfield?
Springfield. It's a hell of a town.
Yeah, the schoolyard's up. And the
shopping mall's down. Yeah. We just went over Lake Springfield. I didn't see any three-eyed fish.
No, me neither. Yeah, when the Cubs won in 2016, I did pull for them. Because of my father-in-law. You know, the Brewers, there's nobody that grew up a Brewers fan because they haven't been around that long.
Well, I mean, now I think
I mean, like
different.
An 80-year-old, though. There's no, like, 80-year-old that grew up.
I mean, a lot of them are still smarting over the Braves leaving, which I can understand.
Yeah, we get a guy that calls every 2 weeks. Yeah, it's a real shame. It's a real shame that the Brewers don't retire the number of Eddie Matthews. I mean, for what he did in Milwaukee.
That's actually something I know that's been... Because, like, the Brewers have
didn't
that...
play for the Brewers.
No, but I understand. Like, that's why the Milwaukee Braves Wall of Fame is there, which I highly recommend people check out if they go to Miller Park. Because it's a huge part of baseball history in Milwaukee. And I can see why people feel like they should honor Eddie's number. And like, people think that Hank Aaron's number is retired because of his time with the Braves. I don't think a lot of people realize that Aaron spent his last two seasons playing for the Brewers.
Yeah, he got his number retired the Wade Boggs style, where...
Did he ride a horse?
All you had to do was play with them, and they, like, Boggs is retired by the Rays.
Yeah, well, that at the same time, that was, I mean, Aaron wanted to come back to Milwaukee to close out his career. It was like a personal favor to Bud.
Yeah.
So I believe they retired it right away, like when he, after his last game.
Oh.
I might be wrong. The Brewers, we got an issue with retired numbers in Milwaukee. Like,
oh, we can turn this into retired numbers.
Because it's going to go all over the place. We got a long ride ahead of us. But I'll save that until Bucks season when we can bitch about the stupidity about the Bucks retired numbers.
No, what's? I want to do this. What?
Well, I mean, so how is Jim Gantner's number not retired?
But like, it is.
It is, but not officially.
But they wouldn't let Hader have it.
Right.
That's why he's 71.
Right. But, I mean, at some point,
yeah, why
you gotta
hang it
up on
the
wall.
Yeah, I agree. Why isn't it retired?
And then, I talked to someone that used to work in the PR department. It's a good friend of mine. We would have this discussion all the time. It's like, well, if the threshold is Hall of Famers, well, then do you put Trevor Hoffman up there?
Oh, is that what their threshold is?
Well, that's kind of what, if you look at it, that's kind of what the theme is, like, which players are in the Hall of Fame.
That's,
I mean,
dumb.
Raleigh's in the Hall of... Or, not Raleigh. Well, Raleigh should be in the... He is in the Hall of Fame. Is this number retired? No, 34 is out there.
No, it's retired.
It's okay. Still got champagne in my brain from last night. But, I don't know. I think Jim's number should be retired. That's... He's a franchise icon.
Because it is, though. I mean, no one uses it, so it's pretty much retired. So just go all the way and retire it. Yeah, I don't get that.
Give the man his due.
I always said I would retire 52.
For CeCe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going a little far.
For the impact he had?
I think that's going a little far.
He's had more impact than... He had more impact as a Brewer than... I don't know where I want to go with that.
Yeah, be careful.
Ryan Braun should be retired.
Could be. That's a ways off yet.
I think the Bucks, obviously, Marcus Johnson should be retired.
The Bucks need to unretire half of those numbers.
Yeah.
Like, I looked it up once. I compared the retired numbers of the Lakers, the Bucks, the Celtics have a ton of them. But it's like, they basically retired everyone's number that they got in the Kareem trade and Kareem.
yeah.
You were here for more. I mean, by the rate they're going, they're going to have to retire Ersan's number.
Everybody's a new number now.
Yeah.
77.
Yeah, someone asked him about that at Media Day. Was it you?
No,
that seems
keep
like
going.
A question you would ask. I don't know. I don't remember what his answer was.
Yeah, it was Gary Wolfel asked it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Next question.
The Packers they've retired unofficially one for Lambeau, but they haven't retired it. Just nobody wears it. Number 5's retired for Horning. but they didn't. It's not actually retired. They don't let anyone wear it. Sometimes they'll let people wear 1 and 5 in the preseason, and then make them change. They made Justin Vogel change a few years ago, from 5 to whatever the fuck he was. I don't remember, but they made him change. So it's like, if you're gonna retire a number, retire a number. And if you're not, you're not. I don't see what the whole hoopla is around. Just retire it. So yeah, I'll always talk retired numbers. 13's retired by the Miami Heat for Dan Marino.
Okay.
That's an interesting one. I thought they retired 23 for Michael Jordan, too.
The Montreal Canadiens retired, I believe they retired, Gary Carter's number when he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Are you going to want me to drive? I can drive it anytime.
I was going to wait till we got on the 39, because I know how bad you are with turns and signage.
Okay, I just didn't want to make you drive the whole way.
I'm fine.
So, we're coming back from St. Louis, as I mentioned. Any other good stories that we need to talk about with that?
I did think it was pretty cool. You weren't there for pregame, as usual, typical radio guy. There's a giant in the visitor's clubhouse. There's a giant...
As I told you, I was taking a shit.
Yeah. There's a giant...
I left a pair of
Bush
pants.
Beer clock hanging up on the wall. Like, think of the gaudy Bush beer clock you probably had in your college apartment. And then blow it up to the size of, like, the back of a cell. That's how big this truck was. And we were kind of joking with Dan Larea, who runs the Brewers travel operation, about the clock. He's like, oh, yeah, that's getting covered up. That's getting covered up if we clinch. And sure as hell, you get in there afterwards, and there's, like, you know, black tarp over the clock and a Miller, the one of those giveaway Brewers Miller flags hanging right over it. So that was good product placement. Dan gets a shout-out for that.
No, that was the flag with everyone's city on it.
No, that one's in the hallway.
Oh, oh.
This was like the little blue and yellow flag they gave out.
Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, this, the whole experience of it where it was like anything went, man. I was on the field.
It's all about you. All about
what
you.
What am I supposed to say?
All about you.
It's like I'm the one that got all these interviews and was on the field, and I'm not supposed to say that?
It's what we do every day.
I guess.
It's the job.
Yeah, but, like, people... You know what I love about this is that people have decided they don't hate me for, like, a day.
I still hate you.
I got a lot of tweets like, Winkler sucks, but that was cool.
Most of those are from me. My 18 burner accounts.
Well, it was cool. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, I got a guy call up, hey, you take back everything you said wrong about Craig Counsell and David Stearns? Look, it's a 162-game season. I'm on the air 5 days a fucking week. There's ups and downs to the season. I'm going to talk about those ups and downs.
I'd like to hear from all the jackasses who are proclaiming the season over at the All-Star break, and every time they lost a game in the second half, and who were just ready to run Craig Counsell out of town when he dared give Christian Yelich a day off.
Oh, that was fucking stupid.
Who are you going to be in there every single day of the week? Shut up.
No, I was very adamant that did not matter.
I'm doing 90, so I'm just going to, you know, move over to the right and slow down a touch.
Yeah, get your average down. The cops pull you over on average in Illinois. Not actual speed.
Okay.
No, but there was times in the season that I thought, I don't see it. And you ask my opinion, so I give it. I don't know, it just feels like they're not going to make it. Is that, what am I supposed to do otherwise if I say, oh, they're going to make it. No, they're going to make it, just wait and see. Like, then that's just being like the easy way out. Like the Packers right now, they're 1-1-1. Are they going to make the playoffs?
No.
They might not. They've got a lot of problems. They've got a lot of holes.
They're a terrible team.
But if I say that now, and then they finish 10-5-1, hey, Winkler, remember when you said that they weren't going to make the playoffs? No. What I said was, at this time, they have problems that could prevent them from making the playoffs. I mean, you do you not understand how this works?
If only there were a way that you could, I don't know, record your takes for future reference. If only a device existed, a medium existed, in which you could
speak. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. People hear what they want to hear.
Well, yes. Yeah. I'll agree with that. You're not completely incorrect.
I was mad when the Brewers traded Jonathan Villar.
Yeah, I know.
I was very mad about that. I almost brought it up to council. I almost said something last night. When we were... there was almost a moment when I... Because he said, you guys will always find something to complain about. As a joke, and I said, it's like, when you traded... I didn't. Thankfully, I didn't.
If he would have hit you, I would have laughed so hard.
Every time that I, like, open my mouth around him, he's like, oh, fuck.
This entire state of Illinois needs to pull over to the side of the road and call a driving school and start over from scratch.
I don't think council's ever been happy to see me.
Has anyone?
I don't know if it's anger, but there's a lot of straight indifference. Oh, fuck. This fucking guy came down.
You spent 162 games basically calling the guy an idiot.
I know. I don't. I'm pro council.
Okay.
I'm pro council. All
right.
And even if I wasn't, you know what? All right. Let's get into this portion of the podcast. Where are we at on time? Not that it matters. I just want to know for reference.
The world's largest covered wagon is up on the next exit.
Sometimes people on podcasts go, oh, we're getting late on time. No. If you still want to listen, listen. And if you don't, then turn it off. That's the point of a fucking podcast.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't ask a lot of questions in these scrums. And I was going to ask one last night to Craig, but I didn't know if anyone asked it because I came in there late about comparing... as a manager to a player. Did anybody ask that?
I didn't.
Did you get in there right away?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, you've done it with a group of guys. What's it like? I was just going to have them compare it. But I didn't know if anyone asked that. So I was going to ask a question.
That would have been nice of you.
But I didn't want to react. See, sometimes, like, I'll think of questions to ask and then somebody asks them. And there's like 20, let's say there's 5 to 20 people at every scrum. You know, there's people that have been covering it longer, and they can ask questions. And then sometimes you try to ask a question in this media thing, and they're like, oh, what the fuck, this guy's asking a question? One time I asked Craig, everybody turned their microphones off, as I was at, like, the microphones were on for 6 minutes. I opened my mouth and people were like, oh, fuck. They turned it off. And I said, Craig, this is weird, but we were talking about you being a coach to your, what's he got, daughter's basketball or some shit. And we just want to know, like, the differences between that, between managing and do your daughter's teammates, parents say, oh, you're Craig Council, or do you have, like, what are the similarities? And then he started giving a good answer, and everyone's like sheepishly turns their microphone back on. I'm like, I'm not just fucking asking. If I'm gonna ask a question, it's gonna be fucking something behind it.
Well, we all were shocked that you were able to, you know, speak coherently.
I know, and then if I ever ask a question, I ask a question so little that everyone's like, oh, I'm like, oh, fuck you. You want me to ask a question or not? You want me to ask questions or not?
Be better at your job, Bart. That's all.
I don't need what everyone else needs. People are looking for specific quotes. I'm looking for the most generic fucking quote possible. If it's for radio, I just need someone every game to say, yeah, well, this was a great game and we look forward to the next series. That's all I need. That's all we need.
Why don't you just write that down on a card and have every player at spring training say it, and then you can just refer back to it all year.
You know, something that I remember from you a lot is when you would... What'd you always tell Wicket? I'm just doing my job, just doing your job for you. What'd you always tell him?
Just here to do your show prep or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the damn thing that drives me up the wall. Is like, you got these guys that'll sit behind the mic and they'll bitch about every decision and they'll just, you know, sit there and, oh, the damn writers just coddle the manager and they coddle the players. They need to ask tougher questions. You guys got credentials. Come on down and ask. Is it enough that we're, like, writing stories? Because, I mean, where do the stories come from in the morning? The damn newspaper. The damn internet. All those updates and whatever. I mean, come ask. Just, you know, we're battling here between different mediums.
Well, one thing that I always do, and I think of you because of that, is I always credit everyone. I don't think a lot of people get credit.
And that's the important thing. Like, if you're going to do, like, the morning report and you sit there and, you know, go to the local paper or go to whatever website and you read the headline, credit where you read the story. Credit the guy that went out there and did the work, that was there and did the interviews and put everything together and did the research and the analysis. I mean, that's important.
Like, if you were to write, haters velocity,
ooh, 2x10s,
changes, you know, based on fucking lefties and righties or something stupid.
Yep.
If you were to write something like that, and then the next day I came on and I said, you know, Josh Hader, Chuck, the velocity with Hader, when it's against lefties, he's throwing blah, 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 and when it's against righties, And then because sometimes people will, you guys will write a story, and then radio people will present it as their own idea. But I don't do that. I'd say, well, Andrew Wagner wrote this great piece.
I got into an argument with someone once about it.
And I'll mention to Twitter people. Yeah. If you tweet something interesting, I'm not going to steal ideas.
I basically heard my story being read word for word on the air, and I like tweeted at the guy. I'm like, oh, where'd you get that story from? Like, maybe want to give some credit? And he's like, well, I mean, all you did was get that stuff from Fangraphs. And I said, well, yeah, but I still had to spend an hour going through all the splits and compiling it and doing the research and doing the work that you didn't do. So, you know, say where you got it from. It may sound petty, but it's our work that we're doing. And if someone presents your work as their own, I mean, that's theft. That's plagiarism. That's, you know, dirty pool.
Who is the host?
Not going to say.
Whisper to me without saying it.
No.
Look at me and say it.
Nope.
Why?
Because.
I think you've already told me.
I'm not petty.
You're so petty, you're like Tom Petty.
Ugh. I never was a big Tom Petty guy.
You're like Ma Petty.
Never got into Tom Petty. Never understood why he was so great.
You're so petty, you're like Richard Petty.
Yeah, okay. Can we move on?
You're so petty, you're like a Manny Petty.
I do love getting a Manny Petty.
Never had one.
Oh my God. Mrs. Winks needs to take you for a pedicure.
Yeah, no, never had one.
It's awesome. You sit there, they take out like the cheese grater, and they shave your heel. Like a belt sander.
I need a heel shave.
Yep.
I do need one of those.
Mrs. Winks, take Arthur for a pedi. It's awesome. I go once a month, sit back in the massage chair. Sometimes they bring you booze. And you just sit and chill, and like they just take your feet to town. Every disgusting piece of crud that's growing in there, yeah, they get rid of it.
So, at the end of the podcast, you'll hear the piece that's been playing on the fan. Just the live interviews we got in the locker room. And I got a lot of positive feedback to that, and it's all appreciated. It was fun. The whole day is still surreal. Everything that I did yesterday is surreal. But that was for them clinching a playoff spot. They could still clinch the division. They could still win a wild card game. They could still win a divisional series. They could still win the championship series. They could win the World Series. Am I expected to do that now every single time?
I don't know, Bart.
Because I don't know if I'm going to many games the rest of the year. Huh? I might go as a fan in that media.
That's okay. You do you.
I think for my job as a sports talk host, it is important and beneficial that I experience things from both perspectives.
Okay.
Media and the fan. I will never lie about being a fan. I call these teams we. But I follow the decorum. I don't wear Brewer shit in the press box.
As I said yesterday, you are what's wrong with this world.
I don't cheer in the press box. You got another work email?
Yeah, but it's fine. It's just email.
You got a radio hit?
I might.
What time?
I don't know.
It better not be when I'm doing mine.
No, it's fine. We're fine.
Or should we pull over at 250 and both do radio hits?
We might. We might.
What time is he on? We're fucking great. What are you going on?
SB Nation Radio.
Oh, who listens to that? Actually, Matt Pauly did a good job on there.
Matt's awesome.
I'll give a Matt's shout out to favorites. A crosstown rival. Yeah, I like Matt. Should I tell you all the people that I like? I won't tell you the people I don't like, but I'll tell you all the people that I like. And then you can choose your own adventure.
Okay.
Who do I like? I think that might be it. I like you. I like you. From not my station, who do I like? Oh, I like Eric.
Your predecessor, I think it was, used to call me the angriest reporter in Milwaukee. And I'm like, no, you just annoy me.
Yeah.
A big difference.
I liked him, though. I like Mike. I get Mike on one of these. Who else do I like? I think I covered it.
Good story.
That's pretty. I like everybody that was there at the game.
Okay.
Everybody that was there. Cruz, Lance, Kevin, Tuso, Steph, Nikki, you, Sophia, Adam, Tom. I like them all. They're all good.
I like being off my own little cove yesterday. Not having to talk to other human beings. That was nice.
Oh, yeah. You sat separate than us?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like when I show up at games and the Brewers PR is like, what the fuck are you doing here?
We all look at you that way.
I know.
That was a good reason.
Well, that's good. I think we gave a lot of secrets here. Anything else that you think that people should know about?
No, you know what? The cool thing yesterday that I saw, this kind of chapped my ass earlier this week when JJ was hurt with the neck spasms. And, you know, he's not available. We're watching the broadcast. He's not available tonight, blah, blah, blah. PA had said something like he didn't look well when he came in the clubhouse today. And, like, everyone on Twitter automatically assumed that JJ had fallen off the wagon or gotten into trouble. And I'm getting texts from people, oh, is he back on the stuff? I'm like, really? Sit and chill. Wait. And then some donkey goes out and finds the fake Ken Rosenthal tweet that says JJ failed the test, whatever. And it turns out it's neck spasms. So, okay, you go through that, which I thought was kind of lowbrow. And then last night, to see just a river of champagne flying through the air, beer flying everywhere, and you see JJ, who closed the game out, and he's walking through double-fisting cans of Grape Fanta, which I thought was cool as hell. And, you know, put a picture on Twitter and hearing from people saying, you know, last night I was actually kind of struggling. I was tempted, and I saw that. I'm good for another day. That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it's all about you, isn't it?
It's all about JJ. How's that about me?
You're the one that tweeted it out. You're getting the messages, not JJ.
No, he got tagged. He's getting it.
You're getting the same shit that
I am. I'm hearing from his agent, you donkey. Are we there yet?
That'll be the name of this episode.
You have to do the douchey, like, podcast. And welcome to episode 4319 of the Wings Things podcast. My guest this week is this jackass riding back from St. Louis with me. And we're going to talk about pooping.
My wife listens to crime podcasts.
Okay.
And some are good. But some are, like, the guys, the tone. I don't even know if I can capture it.
I listen to a lot of, like, woodworking and DIY podcasts. That's, like, my jam right now. And, like, really good one, the Making It podcast. Like, I love it. Jimmy Dresta, David Picciuto, and Bob Clagett. It's, like, it's great. It's a lot of, like, inside the beltway about making YouTube videos about making stuff. But it's, like, cool to go into their process and their creative process. Like, they're good. And then you get these other guys who are just they think they're Edward R. Murrow reporting on, you know, how to build a damn shelf. And it's like, okay, just relax a little bit. Relax. Calm down. Don't be so hyper.
These guys on these crime ones are like, episode 5. The Awakening. They do that little... Melissa Garcia came home, and her husband was there.
I think that's the thing that annoys me most about watching, like, all this, like, content creator stuff now is you can put all the money in the world and all the skill and talent in the world into, like, editing and shooting and recording and, like, putting together, like, a visually appealing product and all the best audio equipment, all the best video equipment. But then you go on and you speak and sentences are either rushed or mumbled together, yeah, or there's like this ridiculously pointless cadence to it. Just
it's the cadence.
If you can't take the time to speak, like the voice is the most important part of all this. Like, yeah, it's important to see what's going on, but if you're trying to explain to people watching what's going on and you can't do it right, it's going to be awful. But again, that's coming from our background, so I'm a little nerdy about that stuff. But yeah.
Melissa Garcia was actually killed with the shards of glass from their bedroom mirror.
Random pauses and random inflections.
And then, bet she didn't see that coming.
Oh. Oh.
That's how it goes.
That's just bad. That's just bad.
Are we there yet?
We haven't even made the turn north yet.
All right, so we're going to hear the interviews that I did because they played 4 times, I believe, on the fan today. So what's one more?
Oh, my God.
And, no, it's good. It's fun. It takes you inside the clubhouse, what it's like. And it even got a compliment from the legendary Bill Michaels. So.
Am I going to have to listen to these interviews or just the poor listeners going to have to suffer through it?
No, we're done. I'm done with you.
Good.
And then you can stick around for the good stuff after sitting through Andrew Wagner. Thanks, buddy.
We should do this more often.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Well, the talking part, not the driving part. That's pretty awful.
Like the friend part?
Let's not use that word. We're teetering dangerously close to what I like to call the feeling zone. And I... I have no desire to venture into that universe with you or anybody. Ooh, the Grain Elevator Museum. Now it's time to wrap it up.
All right, the Wings Things Podcast. Have a good whatever.
Let's go back to Bart Winkler. He is at Busch Stadium. Bart, what's the latest?
Oh, I'm in it, boys. I'm in it. Congrats. Everybody's getting soaked.
You just grab whoever's closest.
You grab anybody that's close, man.
All right.
I am so jealous. I am so jealous.
Curtis, you talked to our post-game show just one second. Curtis Granderson for you guys.
There he is, Curtis Granderson. Congratulations, Curtis. Describe this feeling.
Oh, it's great. Anytime you get a chance to get to play some October baseball, it's awesome. It's a great organization from top to bottom. I've only been here for a short time, but the time I've been here has been amazing. And the city of Milwaukee's been great. The state of Wisconsin's great. You know, I've seen a little bit of that growing up, being from Chicago and being close by and having friends that are from Milwaukee area. A buddy of mine went to MSOE, played against UWM, so I've got a chance to see some of that loyalty and passion out there. So awesome to get a chance to represent the National League by going back to the playoffs.
Curtis, one more thing. How quickly did you discover that this team was as a tight unit as it is right now?
You know, when I joined the team in Washington, my locker was between Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. And I was like, okay, this is a cool spot to be. Obviously, some guys I've got a chance to watch and play against a lot. And then all of a sudden, you know, these guys are out there doing their thing, and I'm learning a lot about the team. And they're just joking and loose and relaxing and just having a good time. And actually, that first game I joined the team was a rain delay in D.C. where we ended up losing that game. But we learned a lot about the team because we came back and ended up winning that Saturday or that Sunday game to win the series there, which is a great thing.
Man, I will tell you this, a little bit of a turning point with you, dude. That game in Chicago against the Cubs, your 3-for-4 game, man, that was huge. I look back at that as a turning point, man. Go celebrate. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Thank you very much, guys. Continue to keep watching and supporting us. We got a long way to go to the first amendment.
You got it. Curtis Granderson celebrating at Busch Stadium with his teammates.
And talk about a dude that's seen it. He's been in how many different ones of these clubhouses?
I'm sorry, Bart?
I said phone's not too wet.
You're doing a good job, buddy.
Let's see who else is freaking.
Bart's right in the locker room at Busch Stadium celebrating with the 2018 Brewers as they punch their ticket into the postseason.
Postgame show, Lorenzo Cain. Hello.
Hey, Lorenzo, congratulations.
Congrats, man. Describe that feeling today.
Describe that feeling, Lorenzo. Congrats.
Hey, this is amazing. I can't hear what you're saying, but we're having a blast. This is amazing. This is what I signed up for. Come back to the playoffs and make things happen.
Lorenzo, the difference between Kansas City and what's going on here, is it more special because you've done it before and it's a new group of guys? Or how does this one feel different?
Yeah, for me, that's why I signed up here, to come back and experience this and feel this, make the feeling again. And like I said, we've said this a few times, so to come back here, get it back in the town, in the team that I started, you know, everything at, and to come back and get this feeling, it just feels amazing. So I'm happy that I was able to come here and get back in the playoffs. Cool, man. Way cool, right there.
As they punch their ticket into the postseason, Lorenzo Cain shortly after the Brewers' victory over the Cardinals.
Here come the cigars.
We are seeing you.
What's up, guys?
Counts, what's up, man?
What's happening? Congratulations, Tim Allen and Bill Schmidt here. Congratulations. Describe this feeling.
It's a thrill for everybody, for sure. We're, you know, we've put together a nice little team here, and David's done a heck of a job in his 3 years here, and we got a chance to do something special in October.
Yeah, Craig, you've been with the organization a long time, man, and it has to be extremely special for you personally, man. When you talk to your dad and talk to your family, how's that conversation going to go?
Well, you know, I'm happy for the city of Milwaukee. I mean, and state of Wisconsin. I mean, that's part of what I've felt like is my job here is to make baseball in Wisconsin important and relevant and special for everybody that's, that loves the game.
So I guess now is not the time to talk lineups, right?
Yeah, I know you guys always got something to complain about, but now's not the time. You're right.
All right. Congratulations.
Have a good night, man. Have a good night.
Congratulations, Craig. Man, that is awesome.
That's
punching
amazing.
The ticket to the postseason. As manager Craig Counsell, Bart Winkler in the clubhouse in St. Louis.
Bart, you are looking like the most underdressed as we see you here a little bit. Yeah,
I'm actually very dry. It's unbelievable how dry I am.
Let me see who else I can grab. Bronny's smoking a cig. Bron and Stearns are hugging. I don't know who's who. One question, post game show. Hey, Tim and Billy, Ryan Braun.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan Braun.
Hey, Ryan, this moment, you did it about 6-7 years ago. It's like an entirely new group of guys. How did a team differ from that one to this one?
I think the 2011 team was a little bit more top-heavy, if you will, whereas this team is a little more well-rounded. There's more depth. We're depending on more players than I think that team was, which is something that, in my opinion, should bode well for us as we move forward. We have so many guys that have contributed to our success to this point. And hopefully we'll continue to contribute to our success as we move forward.
My hot take earlier was that I think in the 08-11 years, you guys have worked so hard to get there, and you almost run out of steam a little bit. I feel like this team, from the outside, Ryan, is sort of peaking at the right time.
Yeah, it feels like it. In my opinion, we played our best baseball over the last week. Obviously, we went to two difficult places to play on the road. We went 5-1. There's a lot of guys contributing, a lot of guys offensively. Guys are playing well defensively. A bunch of relievers throwing the ball really well. And all of our starters contributing as well. So we're in a good place. We feel really good about where we're at. And as I said earlier, you hope that this is the first celebration, not the last.
How's the cigar taste?
Tastes great.
Ryan Braun, thank you.
There he is.
That's amazing.
Bart Winkler with Ryan Braun in St. Louis after the Brewers hit the postseason here in 2018.
Bart, so there's no – how
– Hydrocore's getting dumped out. Do you guys want a big name yet or no?
I just want to know how on earth you're going to do a morning show tomorrow with champagne still in your eyes from tonight.
Oh, yeah. You guys have to draw straws. One of you is doing it for me.
Bart, an excellent job thus far. And we're going to get to you guys as Brewers fans react and the Brewers punch their ticket into the postseason here in 2018.
Coach Eddie Cedar.
Bart.
All right.
Know how great this is for you.
This is awesome. We're going to keep it going. As Christian Yelich said, we're going to just keep it going. This is just the start, baby.
Well, hey, what tastes better, that cigar or your wife's cookies that you used to bring in?
Oh, Marcia's cookies by far.
That's not bad. Eddie Cedar, thank you.
Yes.
Gotta get Eddie on the ball.
That's the most fired up I've heard Eddie Cedar right there.
Outstanding.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. I still love my wife's cookies, in case she's listening, which she does love 1250.
Boy, that is going to be one hell of a flight back into Mitchell tonight after
this
one.
Oh, my God. No one's going to be sober.
Now, Bart, like we try to say, now that you've been able to observe for a little bit, who's the one getting the craziest right now that you can see?
Well, Yelich disappeared. He might be doing some national
stuff. Yeah, so he's on MLB Network right now.
Yeah, not him. Keon is, I think the kids say lit.
That would be it,
Keon,
yeah.
Keon seems to be pretty lit.
Okay.
Oh, really? A lot of people.
You're hearing Bart Winkler doing all the hustling that reporters do down in that clubhouse. This is outstanding.
It's a fluid situation.
We're doing our post-game show, Tim and Billy back there, with David Stearns. I'll ask you the easy one first. How does it feel that you created this team and now they're in the playoffs?
Really, I'm just incredibly proud of the guys in this room, the entire organization, to put something like this together, to have a moment like this for an organization. It takes hundreds of people all across the world working incredibly hard to get to a point like this. Everyone associated with the organization, our fans, City of Milwaukee deserves to be proud of this group. They played hard. They played the right way. And now we get to go to the dance and see what happens in the playoffs.
Right there. We're going to the dance. We get a chance to go dancing, and that's all you can ask for this point.
And you got to get in, and they got in tonight, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, I got a little louder here, so I'm trying. These guys can't really hear you if you try to ask them a question. It is pretty loud.
You keep doing your thing, man. You're hustling, hustling up a storm. It's outstanding.
Keon's on a table.
Is he going through the table?
Keon's on a table. Keon's on a table. All right, I'm going to try to get you one more guy. Here, let me get you on with Suter.
That's what we're talking about.
Brent, we're doing the post-game show, Tim and Billy on the air. You might not be able to hear them, so I'll just talk to you quick. You obviously had the injury. It doesn't seem like that's bothering you right now. Even though you haven't been out there the last couple months, you are just as much a part of this as anybody. How does this feel, Brent Suter?
It feels amazing. Kind of at this point of the night, you're kind of getting like just reflective of the season, all the battles we had as a team together, and how tight we really grew together, and how much more we're hopefully looking forward to. So it's just really just euphoria right now. It's incredible.
It's a kind of a fascinating thing. We were debating today, should they celebrate because there's bigger goals? And I said, they shouldn't celebrate. They got it. I'm such an idiot. This is fun. This is awesome. But you do have some more goals that you can reach. I think this is the team that can get it done.
Yeah, for sure. That's part of one of the themes of the celebration is definitely enjoy it. We earned it, but there's more to get. So there's still the hunger there. This isn't a satisfaction celebration. It's just kind of a one goal of the season is accomplished, but let's keep going.
It helps that you have an off day tomorrow.
Sure does help. Yeah. It helps everything, for sure. Yeah.
Congrats. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Brent Suter.
Give that guy a hug for us.
Yeah, no doubt. But you're right, Bart. He is as instrumental.
They should give you a hug. All right, I'm giving him a hug. All right, good. He gave me a hug.
Bart, he is as instrumental as a lot of players on that team.
Yep.
Let's not discount his efforts here in 2018.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going.
He's going?
He's out of there?
No, I'm just trying to get one with Yelich.
We thought you were getting kicked out.
I'm getting shoved out, but try to get one.
You keep fighting. Bart Winkler,
I'm just standing behind a guy who's, like, I think he's actually doing an autobiography on Yelich. Christian, just one. How's this feel, Christian Yelich? Taking a selfie, which is fine.
I'm going to go celebrate with my teammates.
Okay, just say thank you, Milwaukee.
Thank you, Milwaukee. It's been unreal.
All right.
There you go. All right. Well, Bart, we're going to turn you loose.
A walk-off. Appreciate it, man.
Outstanding work from Bart Winkler, Chuck and Winkler in the morning, embedded in the celebration
Incredible.
In St. Louis at Busch Stadium.